The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
But did anything go through your head at that moment? Was that you saying, right?
That was me saying, it's the first time I touched the ball in the final, and thank God I did something half decent with it.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're welcome along. Monday evening's Off the Ball. First win in 13 competitive games for Stephen Kenny in Baku. Most welcome from his point of view. We'll hear from his press conference today. Another match tomorrow, of course, at the Aviva Stadium. Live commentary and Off the Ball tomorrow. Kevin Kilbane will be along later on as well with his thoughts on the football show after 9. Andrew Trimble and Fiona Coughlan also on the way this evening just after 8 o'clock. Dreadful news for Munster. Confirmation that Orji Snyman has once again ruptured his cruciate ligament. We will chat about that and the weekend's rugby after 8 o'clock. 53106, the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. Hello, Richie McCormack.
Hello, Joe.
Adrian Barry, come on in.
Evening, Joe. Evening, Richie.
So, one defeat in seven now if you're Stephen Kenny, or a first competitive win in 13 efforts if you're Didi Haman. Adrian Barry, talk to me.
Where do I fall on that scale? I was talking to Kenny Cunningham about this on Friday's OTB AM, and like, I'm definitely in that box. If I look forward to the games coming around now, not so sure about tomorrow night, but definitely one of those that sort of looks forward to the games that are coming up. And we got a bit of bang for our buck the other night. Like, I think it all needs to be caveated by loads of different factors, but you take the positives out of it. I think, do you know, like, when you look at the core of that team, if they're fit, we're not in bad shape. Like, you nearly need, statement of the blindingly obvious upcoming here, but like, you know, maybe Jason Knight gets fit, we're okay. But like, you look at the strengths that we have across the goalkeeping position and across the back are pretty good, like excellent and pretty good. And then in midfield, we're really missing that one person that can kind of, I'm not even talking about like a world beater. I'm not talking about anybody that's like, we're not talking about Roy Keane characters. Like a Jordan, we'd love a Jordan Henderson, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
That would fix lots of stuff, I think.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's getting carried away in the same way that you couldn't get carried away over some of the defeats because the performances had some promising elements and because Kenny was bloodying young players equally. We can't turn around now and say, well, 3-0 win. Anyone who had some doubts, you're all wrong. You know, you were very foolish, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. I suppose, Richie, what you could certainly say is, as you're trying to make sense of where Kenny is and where he's going, is that a bit of a foundation has emerged, I think. We're seeing certain consistencies now in the team shape and in the personnel. And more than anything, this is not some crumbling empire. This is not a group losing faith in the manager. It's the opposite. It's going the other way. Things are gradually improving, and that's only a good thing.
Yeah, I think it was evident from all of the pre-match press conferences last week, and I think in the display, obviously, on Saturday, that the squad is fully behind Stephen Kenny and what he's trying to do, along with Keith Andrews and Anthony Barry, I guess, in particular, given that there's been so many parallels drawn, I guess, between how Ireland are set up now and how Chelsea have been set up during their successful period of the past couple of years, whereby it's been a 3-4-3. And there have been certain tweaks made to that, including mid-game on Saturday with Daryl Horgan making way for Jamie McGrath. But like, everybody seems on side with the Kenny revolution from inside the camp, and everybody seems to think that they're moving in the right direction. Even Caoimhín Kelleher today, like, he was asked about the goalkeeping situation. Obviously enough, he says he's happy enough with the competition. But it is, like, it's remarkable that there isn't any real talk that Darren Randolph should be in that squad anymore, because we've got three exceptionally competent goalkeepers in Gavin Mizuno, Caoimhín Kelleher and Mark Travers, who's the forgotten man despite the fact that he's probably playing at the highest level of the three of them pretty regularly this season. So, like, as Adrian mentioned there, at the back it looks absolutely fantastic. Like, that back three probably has another few years in them. There's, you know, obviously some refreshing that will go on with that, but there are options there, and there are options in every area of the park. But we do, and it was blindingly obvious, particularly after the first goal on Saturday, the lack of a midfield. With all due respect to Josh Cullen, there's only so much he could do, but like, Azerbaijan were dancing through that midfield with regularity and with fair ease on Saturday, and that was a worry for me. Like, the thing about Saturday was, it was probably one of the worst performances from a Stephen Kenny team over the past 5, 6, 7, 8 games, and yet, because Callum Robinson has found an eye for goal, it ends up being the best result, because, you know, we're scoring these chances that we're creating. Chidozie Ogbeni coming off the bench, a brilliantly direct, I'm not going to say one-dimensional, but, you know, his MO is to run at players. But there's enough hope within that squad, within the age profile of the squad, and within the I guess the faith that they have in the manager, to say that things are going to get better. Like, they are. Yeah. It's just a fait accompli. It's keeping that consistent, I guess, is going to be the main thing.
Yeah, and that's why November is still important. You want to feel that there is a base that we're building on and there is a consistency about the performances. So Portugal home and Luxembourg away. Discernible change in style, I thought, over the weekend, Adrian. Ireland had about 38, 39%. Possession. At the same time, though, they were potent. They created 18 chances. Six of them were very, very good, I would say, if not seven. Like, you know, if we had taken them all, it could have been a rout. And you compare that with the nadir of the Luxembourg match, where, frankly, Ireland continually struggled to beat the Luxembourg press, but kept trying anyway, versus Saturday night, where Bazunu went long, I think, on all but three occasions. That's a massive turnaround in and of itself. Played maybe more in the right areas, as opposed to very nice possession in your own half, which goes nowhere and the opposition are happy for you to have. So all of these things have developed in a relatively short space of time. And I do take Richie's point about the midfield. Like, after the first 15, 16 minutes, where Ireland were excellent, like genuinely really, really brilliant start, there's no doubt that Azerbaijan got a strangle of the game and we couldn't really get it back for various reasons. I mean, Adamida needed to hold the ball up better. Ireland a few times sloppy. I do think, and it's interesting that Anthony Barry is there at Chelsea. Chelsea, a little bit more so recently, have started moving towards three in the middle, like Kante halftime against Spurs and for the Man City game. And more recently, again, it was just Werner and Lukaku up front. Kenny Cunningham was in yesterday. I do agree with them. I do think for Josh Cullen and for Hendrick, it's a lot of ground to cover. Because invariably our 3-4-2-1 is in reality a lot of the time a 5, a 2, and then the 3. And if you're that 2 in Cullen and Hendrick, it's a lot of work to get through and you can be played around pretty easily. I do think we may see over time a sacrifice of one of the two players behind Ida. So for the sake of this argument, I think we'll keep Callum Robinson based on his most recent performance. So probably, you know, Horgan would come out in this instance. And somebody like a Jamie McGrath or an Alan Brown, or Jason Knight maybe. I haven't seen enough of Knight, but I hear he can, you know, attack as well and has a variety to his game. But like a McGrath or a Brown, who they're not out-and-out midfielders, they're not sitting midfielders, they can join attacks very well. So it wouldn't just be like Ida and Robinson alone and isolated. But I think Cullen and Hendrick will need a bit more help. That became apparent on Saturday.
Need a link.
Yeah, but again, Adrian, these are, like, this is good to be talking about this stuff and, like, tweaks here and there, as opposed to, can we pass the ball? Should we just hoof it long? Do we need to get rid of Kenny? You know, like, at least we're moving on from that conversation a little bit.
Sweet release, isn't it? Like, to be able to talk about that stuff. And obviously, you know, in terms of the mix-up of style, Keith was obviously listening to you, Keith Andrews, when you were in, when you did your chat a few weeks ago.
I tried to tell him. I told him.
You communicated the needs of a nation, and alas, there it was. But, no, I would agree with you. And actually, this, you know, on the basis that we're talking about a fairly fundamental position of the pitch, right, where it's pretty obvious, and like the names that you've mentioned there, you know, they're the starting positions, they're the starting players, you know, and they have a lot of work to do, and who's coming off the bench after that? Like, we're certainly really, really desperately short on options. Like, how many times do you find yourself barking at the TV with Ireland games for somebody, really, when it boils down to it, is somebody to put the foot and the ball in the middle of the pitch and be able to dictate play a little bit, to be able to spot a bit of danger, to be, you know, calm and technically good under a bit of pressure. I do think that would solve a multitude. But having said all that, like, I think for the reasons about the goalkeeping position, for the, you know, you look at the competition for places suddenly across the back, like, incredibly strong. Robinson, he was clearly told, obviously, at the weekend, have a couple of pots at the goalkeeper. He's not up to much, as it turns out, was absolutely spot on. And, like, look, again, the strike, particularly the first one, like, sensational, no matter who's in goal. Really, really good. So we have options there, and there's other young players coming in, and even Ogbeni coming in, still really young, very little caps. So there's lots of reasons to feel very positive about all that stuff. We're really crying out for somebody, like, just to come in. The thing is, we were so spoiled in that position for so long that anybody that comes in, look at the stick that, like, if we had Glenn Whelan in that team now, you know, I think we'd feel a lot more sort of reassured. I think he probably suffered from coming in off the back of obviously some world-class players, well, one world-class player, and then obviously some very solid players after that. Whereas right now, there's a real lack of quality in that position. But look, I agree with you anyway. The general point about being in a position where we can stop talking about whether Stephen Kenny's going to be around or not, and the positivity that exists around the team for footballing reasons and loads of other reasons as well. It's brilliant.
Yeah. If things go horribly in November, he's back under pressure again. That's the reality. He gets that. But yeah. The crowd, by the way, restricted tomorrow to 25,000. There are about 300 tickets still on sale, I saw the FAI said. That was earlier on this afternoon, so maybe they're gone at this stage. I'm not too sure. Rich, I guess we should roll on into the news round. Get in your text, by the way, 53106. Curious for your thoughts on the game at the weekend or anything else, or get us at Off the Ball on Twitter as well. The news round is with thanks to Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. And Orgy Snyman Richie is entitled to feel a bit sorry for himself, I would think.
Yeah, if it wasn't for bad luck, he'd have no luck at all. Munster confirming today that Orgy Snyman has re-ruptured his anterior cruciate ligament. The Springbok second row sustained the injury during yesterday's 43-13 win over the Scarlets. Snyman had only returned from the same injury against the Sharks a fortnight ago after 13 months on the sidelines. And in between, of course, he had that burns issue that forced him to miss the Lions series during the summer.
I mean, if he'd been rushed back, Adrian, you might think, oh, maybe that contributed to what happened here. But he was out for 13 months. It was a really good stint away from the game. I think the fire pit incident contributed to him having a longer layoff than he might have even needed. So ample time to do all the rehab you need and more. Scored a bulldozing try at Thomond Park against the Stormers. And, you know, that opens up the possibilities for big European games for Munster later on in the year, where they'll need all that heft and all that physicality, and then suddenly, completely innocuous moment, gone, same injury. And his contract's up at the end of this year. He's played a grand total of 54 minutes for Munster. It's extraordinary.
It's desperate, isn't it? Like, I mean, Jesus, on a human level for the guy coming in, big career move, still very young. Is he 27? I think 27 next year.
Yes.
Like, still really young, and in that position as well, could have another 10 years playing. Like, it's desperately sad from that point of view. I'm sure Munster fans are thinking about it this evening, about the, not only on that level, but also the impact of the team, because like, that's a big investment in every regard in terms of what he could add to the team. And you mentioned his size there, I think, and like, that is unfortunately an impact on a negative mitigating factor for the position that he's in with the injury that he has. Like, he's got serious heft, obviously, got serious size. I was just doing up a bit of reading before we come in here and asking a couple of people who know about this stuff, and just in terms of, you know, a general steer on the general possibilities about even getting back to play here. And one piece that was sent through to me here, it's a study from a Swedish university where they were saying almost one out of five top level, this was a study of footballers now, admittedly, but just to give some context, almost one out of five top level professional male footballers sustained a second ACL injury after the first. So one in five go on to sustain a second one. And I think the number is 80% or thereabouts who return to play after the first cruciate, i.e. there's a big percentage that don't return to play at all. Now, look, that's a different sphere and it's a different game. But, you know, that's what he's... They're the types of conversations he'll be having, I'm sure, now over the next few days and the next few weeks. It's really tough for him.
All right. So do you mean of the players who suffer a second cruciate and then return again, 80% of those don't come back, is it?
81% of players return after the first cruciate injury, and then after that, it's obviously a law of diminishing returns. Okay. Where, you know, after after a second cruciate, it's,
I know, it's blatantly
obvious. It can get very tricky after that. And like, there's stuff, you know, there's stuff that, look, a lot of this stuff obviously is way beyond my level of comprehension, but there are other complicating factors that come in with somebody of his size and the impact that can have on the knee, particularly even away from the ACL and stuff. So,
yeah. No, it's true. You do. And when it happened the second time, it did beg the question, is there some inherent weakness there, unfortunately? And hopefully they can find a way around it and he gets back. So Jason Knight, then, he is fit again, Richie. This is for the match tomorrow, obviously.
Yeah, back in contention for the Republic of Ireland's friendly with Qatar tomorrow night. The Derby midfielder missed the win in Azerbaijan due to a fever. However, Daryl Horgan and Josh Cullen are both doubts for the game at the Aviva. Manager Stephen Kenny has ruled out wholesale changes for tomorrow night's game, but he did confirm that Caoimhín Kelleher will make his first start for his country.
Yeah, no, Caoimhín is a real natural goalkeeper. He's such a terrific talent. Obviously played 10 times for me as under 21 manager, so I'm well aware of his qualities, and he's terrifically well. Just unfortunate last season when he was injured, and that opened the door in March for Gavin Bazuna, who's been terrific. And obviously Caoimhín made his debut at half time in the game against Hungary, but you know, this is his first start tomorrow in front of the home crowd, so you know, he deserves it.
I'm glad to hear he's not planning on wholesale changes, actually. I think what this team needs now and this group needs now is consistency together. They've kind of found a bit of a shape and a bit of a foundation. They should build on those relationships. Like, I don't think waste this game by just giving game time to people that aren't going to feature next month. I think go again, let that back three look around at each other and say, God, I really like playing in this. This is really working. And let Amabama Deli and Doherty get to know each other a bit better. And like, God, McLean was very good on Saturday as well. I would go as similar as you could. Get Ida back out there. Like, don't put in James Collins. Don't put in somebody else. I'd get Ida back out there. And like, he wasn't very good by the standards he set in Portugal on Saturday. He didn't hold the ball up well at all. I'd get them all out again if you could. And let their clubs worry about it when they go back, you know. Because, I mean, you look at the likes of, I was just reading here in Dan McDonald's piece, Bazunu, Amabama Deli, Ida, Josh Cullen, Jamie McGrath, Troy Parrott, Ogbene. They'd never actually been in an Irish game where 3 points were picked up, Adrian.
Like, I saw that. Know, that's unreal.
Let them get back out, home crowd, get another win and sail off happy. And God, thinking, I can't wait to get back in November and go again, you know?
Yeah, I think everybody needs that, don't they? I think that, like, even you mentioned earlier on about the pressure on Stephen Kenny, and it did feel like that away when, like, looking at Azerbaijan, but like you said as well, you can't have it both ways. You got to take it when it's there. I do think that that's absolutely spot on. You got to get them out, and most of those, like, they're not our lads, like McLean maybe aside, but like none of them are really that of that age where you're kind of flogging them. I do think get them out there. Do you know, on the point you were making earlier on, right, I was thinking about it just as after we were chatting. I'd love to get one game, right, just for one game, lob in Jordan Henderson, I mentioned him, so let's go with him, or somebody who was really proficient at that position, and just see how good this Irish team are. I'd love just to get a look and see you'd be so excited about the potential that will be there, and it does feel as if that's that's just a significant one at the minute. But
Did you think Cullen and Hendrick were that bad? I genuinely thought weren't helped very much.
It was a manpower thing. It was noticeable in the second half when Jamie McGrath was brought on, and he was that link between midfield and the attack, that there was a little bit more solidity around the midfield and a little bit of an ability to actually play the ball and create those chances. Not to a brilliant level, but certainly it was an improvement on the first half. There was an issue as well where McLean and Horgan were getting in each other's way, almost, because McLean was playing as a wing back and Horgan was still playing wide on the left-ish. So there was a lot of kind of spatial issues. You saw it especially actually around the first goal with Robinson. Horgan almost runs into McLean's path and almost makes a Hames of that build-up. But having that link and having almost somebody sitting behind, I know McGrath was still playing with a bit of width, but somebody in behind the mid or in behind the strikers, in behind the forwards, and the link between midfield meant that Cullen and Hendrick could actually do the jobs that they were, I guess, you know, you thought that they were going to do when they started in that team. But there was too much being asked of the two of them to sit in midfield, have Cullen essentially be the mop-up artist and for Hendrick to be the link between midfield and attack. It just wasn't working. And especially the way our wing-backs play, it wasn't going to work that way.
I think Doherty and McLean could have been a bit braver and stepped up and helped them out a bit more at times, as opposed to just saying, well, we're in our back five, we're all comfy, you boys do your thing. I do take the point, Adrian. I mean, there's a reason Jordan Henderson plays for Liverpool and Josh Cullen plays for Anderlecht. But I actually thought him and Hendrick did okay, in so much as you can when the team lost control of the game a little bit. You need to get those Jordan Henderson posters down.
The point is, even, like, look, maybe they come on now, right, in leaps and bounds. Hendrick particularly just has never become the player that we had all hoped that he would. But maybe under Stephen Kenny, look, you don't want to be maybe he does. Maybe that sort of, you know, it's that. Really what I'm getting at is that consistency of your 7.5 out of 10. Mm. That's what you want in there all the time. Look, at if he continues to play like he did the last day, then that's all, we're fine. And I don't know, maybe it's whatever it is, a 6.5 or 7 out of 10, and we're delighted with just to have that. But it is definitely what the point I'm getting at is that consistency and kind of reliability. We're just not sure with the players that we have there at the minute. Mm. You know, what we're going to get from one game to the next. Because actually, a lot of those players that we've name-checked, even around the midfield area, have had very, you know, really good games for Ireland, but it's just sporadic. You want somebody in there who's delivering that for you every game.
We want that 7 out of 10. 53106, please. Give me Adrian Barry's rating for this news round out of 10. I'm curious. We'll work out a mean there and see what we end up with. I would think an 8.5 so far for Adrian Ritchie.
Yeah, in the rounds.
I think my ACL knowledge, my ACL knowledge there is lifting.
The research gets you over the line.
I'm giving you an 8.5.
Yeah, I didn't even, Lynn Shopping University, I could have gone into a bit more detail than that, Joe, if we'd done it. You know.
I'm just relieved you haven't mentioned Squid Game yet. We're doing really well. Let's try and keep that under wraps. You mentioned Queeving Keller. You mentioned Queeving Keller. He was explaining, Rich, about his reasons for not going out and loan a la Bazunu.
Yeah, exactly. Bazunu has established himself as Kenny's first choice over the past 6 months. And while the ex-Shamrock Rovers keeper has gone out on loan from Manchester City, the Corkman is stuck with Liverpool as Alisson's understudy. But Kelleher says today that he insists he wouldn't swap journeys even with the Portsmouth loanee.
Yeah, I think I don't regret anything. I don't. It's completely different. Everyone different individually. Different journeys or whatever. I think the way my career has been completely different, so I don't have any regrets. But I've done stuff different now. I've done everything the way I wanted to do, and I'm quite happy the way it's turned out at the minute.
Yeah, Queeving Kelleher there, speaking from Mexico 86.
What the hell went on with that?
Word weird. That.
Yeah, apologies for that. you wouldn't change a thing, short answer.
Yeah, okay. So, Wales playing this evening over in Tallinn.
Yeah, they are seeking a first win in 3 World Cup qualifying matches after back-to-back draws. Rob Page's side take on Estonia from 7:45. Aaron Ramsey captains the team from midfield. He's a potential signing, of course, for Newcastle in the January window. Steve Bruce and his Newcastle players met with the club's new owners today. Amanda Staveley and Mehrdad Gurdusi spent around 90 minutes at the Newcastle training complex today. Bruce took training and is expected to be in the dugout for Sunday's Premier League game with Tottenham. New chairman Yasser Al-Rumayyan hopes to attend that game at St. James's Park.
Yeah, I was watching all this, Adrian, the arrival of Amanda Staveley and Guidusi, and the body language. Everybody very keen to be over and shake hands and, you know, laughing heartily at all their comments.
Selling you, selling you, selling you, selling you.
Steve Bruce is getting, in his payoff, $9 million.
Oof.
A lot of chippy
cheese. Really?
Yeah, I don't know how he negotiated a deal where he would get $9 million when he inevitably got the sack, but he's done it.
How long has he got left on his contract?
I was reading, it was described as a rolling contract. I don't know how many years he has left. But
I want one of those, whatever that is.
$9 million.
But I suppose the thing is, right, like, look, you've seen the sums that these people have. It's like, it's monopoly money. They couldn't, I imagine like the negotiation was like, Bruce, somebody said to Bruce, listen, go in and ask for $9 million, right? That's your starting point. See where you go after that. And he went in and went, yeah, I'll have $9 million. Sound. See you later.
I know.
Sure, that's, you know.
It's a hell of a profession, isn't it? Like, getting sacked is one of the great things that can happen to you.
Ah, yeah. Well, people shouldn't feel any degree of sympathy for Steve Bruce or Sam Allardyce or the likes of these lads. They're, they're career managers, and, like, it's the peaks and drops. He knew as soon as this stuff was flagged years ago that, like, it wasn't going to last for him. It's, you know what I mean? You're not going to be signing Mbappe and, like, handing him over to Steve Bruce.
His main aim for the last 18 months was to hang on to that job just so he gets sacked. You know, that's it.
Good
because
shout.
He gets that massive payoff. He probably gets a few extra bob because the Saudis have come in and they're replacing him almost straight away. One presumes, like, he's still in the job, obviously. Like, but he is just, once he saw the Saudis, he's like, right, hang on to this gig. Mm-hmm. These lads are going to give me a massive wadge and I'm going to go away into the sunset and have a pint of wine. Like, you know, he's happy out.
Yes or no only, because I got a wrap. If I was to throw $9 million your way, Adrian, would you quit all your jobs and not work again, or would you work again with $9 million?
Oh, Joe, I'd be in work first thing in the morning. You know that. Come on.
To hand in your resignation.
Me and Brucey, we're hitting the Caribbean. See you later.
You'd be in to deliver a few home truths to people. Richie McCormack, $9 million. Are you still working?
Oh God, no, no, yeah, definitely no. I've got my trotters up, and I'm telling everybody what I think of them. Yeah,
I'm done. I'm done. Squid Game is one of those shows that makes me break out in a cold sweat. This Paul, look, it was the lengthy-ish discussion in the Off the Ball office earlier on. Adrian Barry leading the charge. We'll return to that at another stage, if that's okay, Adrian.
Spot on. I look forward to it, Joe.
Very good. Richie McCormack, thank you.
That's nice.
All right, fellas, cheers for that. Competition time.
Your chance to win big. Newstalk's Cash Machine.
We opened the lines again this morning for your chance to win big with our game Newstalk's Cash Machine today. €5,555.54 in the Cash Machine. We called Mark Kinsella after 3 o'clock. He picked up within the five rings. He told us the correct amount, meaning he walked away with the money. Good man, Mark. You can be next. We'll be topping up the Cash Machine tomorrow morning on Newstalk Breakfast. Tune in 8 a.m. We'll tell you exactly how much you could win. Nathan Murphy is going to be on the way next. We're going to chat through the Irish performance a little bit more and bring you some of what Stephen Kenny was saying today. Kev Kilbane on the way after 9. Andrew Trimble and Fiona Coughlin on the way after 8.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.